Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you. For who else but you is the source of three perfection of liberation? Please repeat after me. O afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you. For who else but you is the source of three perfection of liberation? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The three perfections of liberations are religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. For a conditioned soul, the wife is considered to be the source of liberation because she offers her service to the husband for the ultimate liberation. Conditional material existence is based on sense gratification, and if someone has the good fortune to get a good wife, he is helped by the wife in all respects. If one is disturbed in his conditional life, he becomes more and more entangled in material contamination. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. If, however, the husband is progressive in spiritual advancement, the wife undoubtedly shares in his activities, and thus both the wife and husband profit in spiritual perfection. It is essential, therefore, that the girls as well as boys be trained to discharge spiritual duty so that at the time of cooperation, both will be benefited. The training of the boy is brahmacharya, and the training of the girl is chastity. A faithful wife and spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for the advancement of the human mission. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pad Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadhvetam Sadhudutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Jivam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantam Radha Kantam Namastute Tapta Kanchange Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishibhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturu Bhescha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Cheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Udire. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttam Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Neshtaki. So I could start off by thanking you all for attending. And if I could just welcome the online viewers, as well as seek the blessings of senior devotees and my dear Guru Maharaj, to be able to say something that can do justice to this verse. So the background, as we all know from Canto 3, this particular chapter is pregnancy of Diti in the evening. So we are aware that Diti is, of course, Bhaktimati Mataji explained very nicely that what may appear to us as a something that we may think, oh, why are they so exalted and getting on with things like that? But the real reason is that because they were the progenitors, they were the Prajapatis, and they had a job to do when they've been brought to this world. So bearing that in mind, Diti is asking so that she can have a child. She feels like all of her sisters have got it, and she's also been serving nicely, so then why shouldn't she? And even though we all know that sometimes what is right for others is not necessarily right for us, but she was in one of those moods where she thought she wants a child, and she did not pay heed to her husband's explanation of time, place, and circumstances. And then eventually her husband gives in too. So this is the background, and that's the verse where now, you know, we will be talking about. So Srila Prabhupada here mentions and starts off with three perfection: religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. And how it is so important in Vedic culture, this concept of evolvement. At one point, you know, one has to go through certain things to achieve something which is going to be leading to the successes of life. Vedic culture is a wonderful thing. It is so wonderful because it's also scientific, and it can actually assist anyone who is at, irrespective of any stage of their life, then they are able to make that progress. We generally start with the lower consciousness, or we can start thinking in terms of evolvement, in terms of, say, reptiles, you know, trees, birds, plants, then insects, maybe reptiles, then animals, and then human platform that we achieve. So all of this basically leads to higher consciousness towards the progression on the spiritual path. And this is the beauty of our Vedic culture, and we've all heard of Varnashram. So that's what is stated in here today about how when one becomes, like, especially when you are at a platform of human, children are sent at the age of 6 or 8 to either Gurukuls or for Brahmachari training. They are trained and cultivated in the spiritual knowledge. And they are taught not to indulge in just any mundane sort of activities. Once they've become a brahmachari, they have followed the regulations and they've followed the religious injunctions and not whilst they are studying, whilst they are being a student, very carefully fulfilling the Vedic teachings, later on in their life, then they can become, you know, grihasthas. And this is where this verse comes in, that no ashram is a bar to spiritual progression, irrespective of whether we are man, woman, whether we are brahmachari, whether we are grihastha, whether we are vanaprastha, or eventually leading on to sannyas. So each and every situation we are in, we can still make that progression. We can still achieve the perfection of life, provided we follow the Vedic culture. And it's always been like, even in past examples, when we see that if king is ruling, then you see queen is there. Even if king is sat, queen is also sat somewhere else. Most of us know if some havan is being done, usually the wife of the person who's doing havan, they normally tend to help prepare, you know, and maybe set everything else, assisting their husbands. So wives can be assisting, you know, in that sense. And there is mention of diti and giving into sense, giving into the onslaughts of senses, ends up with, as we've heard in previous verses, with not the required results, or maybe not the expected results that they wanted, and suffer in the end. So this human life, we get the platform. This is the only platform, basically, in which we can actually use the opportunity to advance for the ultimate perfection, which is the siddhi and liberation. And liberation is mentioned here. Again, we all know, even in, as in human form, as we face day to day three modes of material nature, there is still evolving concept about how it needs to be ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, you know, tamo, rajo, and satoguns. So it's all going round, and we need to elevate our activities by making sure that, irrespective of where we are, but as long as we are then progressing towards the right path. So I spoke about varnashram, and varnashram eventually, if we follow, then that would lead to the renunciation. So can I just ask a question? What do we understand by liberation then, please? Could you tell me? Sorry, what's your name, Prabhuji? Yeah. Okay, Prabhuji. What is your understanding of liberation then? Okay, it's a moksha. It's mukti. Exactly, because liberation can be anything, isn't it? It's like, sorry, Maharaj. I didn't see you, so I didn't mention, but all glories to you, Maharaj, and seeking your blessings. Yes, so we're talking about liberation. Yes, you've said the right thing. Ladies, how many types of liberations are there? Well done. And four are positive, I understand, and one is negative. Is that right? Anyone remember all five? Who's going to tell me the five? Right. And so Salokya, what does that mean then? Yes. And Sarshti? Yes, opulences. And then Samipya is near. Being close. So where we aspire to be close to Lord. And then Sarupya, Rupa, form. Yes. So, and then the last one is? Is that a good thing? Why? It's impersonal liberation because somebody wants to merge into one. So is that liberation if we actually just want to be getting to just have our, you know, promotion to certain world, or although they are all positive, and one Guru Maharaj always mentioned this one is negative. But is that the goal of life? Prabhuji said, you said something after saying moksha. Because moksha could be from debts, moksha could be from family, moksha could be from anything that we don't like, right? Liberation. But what's the last line that you use, which is more important?
As we believe, Marti, in our culture, to reach the Golokadhan, the Golokadhan, which is the highest point to Sada Krishna. Vaikuntha.
Yes. So I would say the pure devotees, they do not require any of these liberations, although it mentions there it's Tregunya. And this is the, again, evolving process. But for pure devotees who are into pure devotional service, like Guru Maharaj here, they do not care for any of these things, do they? What do they desire? They have a deeper understanding of the loving service of Krishna. And for that, all of these things, which are a great achievement in itself, they actually ignore that because to them, it's just a byproduct, right? So there is this verse, isn't it, about... okay, so it says, Salokya Sashti Samipya Swarupa Ikatam Api Uta Diya manam na grananti vina mat sevanam jana. So pure devotees do not accept any kind of liberation, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's like, even if it's handed on the plate, why do they don't like it? Because it doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is the service of the Lord. As long as they are in that service, then they are not bothered about what they can, because it's not about making gain for ourselves. It's about being in the service to be able to serve the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya as well, like most people, if you ask most, like, you know, we've been there, well, I've been there, the Hindu in the world, moksha is liberation, and moksha is deemed to be the, you know, end product in when you don't have the understanding of what is the real thing to go for. And this is again evolving. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also says na dhanam na janam na sundarim, and in there he's mentioning that I don't really need beautiful women, beautiful wives, millions of followers, I don't need no gold, no wealth, like that. But what do he need? What does he say he needs? Man janmane janmaneshwari. So birth after birth after birth. What is he saying? Yes. So even though in our normal concept, if you use word liberation or moksha, it'll come up with getting out of this cycle of birth and death, which is what we all want to do eventually, right? But Mahaprabhu is saying he doesn't even desire that, because all he wants to do is service of the Lord. And as long as he's engaged in the service of the Lord, automatically one can transcend the human form or the platform of human and attain the siddhi or the perfection of that human life. So that's what we need to be aiming for eventually. But we can't be harsh with ourselves. There is a process. Some people are very lucky. They're able to go through it straight away. They join in and you see they are literally reached, you know, and even though they are younger or whichever way they are, whichever background they come from, but once they are on that spiritual, like we know, Agyat Sukriti of some sort, they are onto that plane and flying their solo plane to the highest realms of spirituality. And they get that love of Krishna in there. So as long as we can also pray to remain in pure devotional service and serving the lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, then, you know, we can be satisfied in this material body, which becomes spiritual by transcending those modes because of the serving of Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ji. So in this respect, we have an example about Devahuti and Kandarpa Muni. And Devahuti is deemed to be very chaste. This whole paragraph that Srila Prabhupada's written about her, the chastity is important and brahmacharya is important. So as we all know, the story, although she was a princess to father who had a very opulent, well, he owned the whole planet. How much more opulence can you have, right? When your dad owns the whole planet, what is difficult for you, right? And yet it was deemed she'd be suitably married to Kandarpa Muni. Sorry? Kardama Muni, yes. And he was a great sage and he was doing austerities and he was very meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. He was not aware of anything that's going around him. And Devahuti forgot all about her opulence. And in middle of nowhere, where he was actually doing the meditation, she decided to focus and be faithful to and be chaste in terms of serving her husband. And for that reason, because when you're really caring for someone, in her case, although she was so used to having the servants, the maid servants, all sorts of other luxuries, but she then focused on just serving very faithfully her husband. And in the event she neglected herself, so her skin became very wrinkly, her hair became matted and not soft and silky like it used to be, her satin skin became very rough and so on, and she became really emaciated or skinny whilst she was serving her husband very faithfully. So in terms of her service, as we know very nicely, again, it's an incentive for us wives or us ladies as well to do, because whatever service or the spirituality the husband does, women tend to get the 50%. I don't know if 50% mark where it comes from, but because just because they're called Ardhangani or the half of the, it says further up in some of these verses later on that the woman is supposed to be, the wife is supposed to be a better half of the man, and then they automatically end up gaining most of the service that you do, or at least half of it. And Srimad Bhagavatam is saying it. So isn't that an incentive for us to encourage our husbands to do service? Would you say? That's one thing that struck me when I thought Rajesh Krishna should become a pujari or start serving Radha Gokulan and this, because I gain. But jokes aside, I mean, it's there in real life as well. When you're husband is a millionaire, I mean, these days, even before they get married, they sign all these sorts of contracts, right? And in terms of your husband's a millionaire, you automatically get, you know, you don't need to worry about it. So this is the beauty of our Vedic culture, that everything is woman's looked after for. And of course, we know in terms of Devahuti then achieving perfection eventually when a husband and they unite, they have like 9 daughters, and then her son, who's the son? Kapila Dev. So who is Kapila Dev? Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Lord Vishnu. So look how beautifully she has benefited by coming to that platform of serving. Somebody might say, oh, austerities, okay, they are voluntary way of accepting inconvenience, right? No one's forcing anyone. It's like today is Ekadashi, and a lot of people think, oh, it's so difficult to refrain from grain. And clearly, people who've been keeping it, they know it's not, touch wood, that difficult anymore. If you have Guru and Krishna's mercy, then you can see it through. And it's something that you want to do willingly to please the Lord. So when you please the Lord, and similarly when they as husband and wife did that, they were able to achieve, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. Shishi Radha Gokula Nand Ki. So in terms of this, understanding this, like as a householder, we need to learn to withstand the onslaught of our Shishi Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan Ji Ki, Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki. As long as we can then learn to accept or learn to withstand the onslaughts of senses, because that's very important for us too, and the onslaught of sense gratification. As long as we can keep away from it and dovetail all our senses in serving the Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaji, then life becomes much, much easier, and everything and anything that we feel is very difficult to do becomes that much easier. There is an analogy about, I think in 4th canto, 9th chapter, 11th verse, about a mango. If one gets unripe mango, although it's still a mango, still called the same fruit, you know, king of fruits. However, the same mango, when it's ripe, think about, once it's offered to Radha Gokulanandaji, how nectarian the taste becomes. And that's the ripe mango. So mango is still green mango and the other mango. However, it becomes so much more tasteful and relishable. Similarly, once we perform devotional service, according to the injunctions of our Guru Maharaj, our, you know, Shastra, Sadhu, following the regulative principles, then automatically that's our stage of being unripe mango, but having the mercy, which then leads us to become like a ripe mango when we actually become engaged in the devotional service in, hopefully, in spiritual world. Although both are same, but we all know the difference. So that's something that we need to evolve into eventually from our this platform, this opportunity that we have. Also, we know about, in terms of personal application, what can we do as a good wife? We can encourage our husbands. We can actually look after the children that's been entrusted to us by Shishi Radha Gokulanandaji or Lord Krishna, because we have a job to do. Srila Prabhupada's left us with the legacy that needs to carry on. So in terms of our personal application, we need to start thinking in terms of sharing the concept of the spiritual wealth. Just as a faithful wife shares all the, you know, the goodness of a husband's pious activities or punya, similarly, we need to be able to bring up those children in Krishna consciousness. It's important. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, girls and boys are trained to discharge the spiritual duties. And didn't he himself perform? We've seen pictures, isn't it, when they first the movement started, how he started doing and getting people into marriage so that the team can then be sent to go and preach somewhere else. And in doing so and following Srila Prabhupada's mission for the advancement of human life or humans, one also ended up achieving the perfection by following in the line that Srila Prabhupada sent the grihasthas to re-establish the varnashram in this society. I was listening to Guru Maharaj's lecture and he mentions there that Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission in this varnashram is so important. There's so many other Hindu sort of communities and all sorts organizations. But what actually ISKCON is doing is in re-establishing the varnashram, no one else seems to be doing it. So we have this mission that needs to be taken forward, and we know very well that we hear all these stories. I mean, I remember coming one time thinking, oh, it's my service first thing in the morning at 4:30. And then later on thinking, oh, why did I come? I didn't need to come today. And then as I was going from the door to leave, thinking, well, I can do other things rather than being here, foolishly, I was approached by a black lady. She'd come to the temple. I think that was her second time. And she told me that she asked me, who are these deities? And she asked me, but I said, well, don't leave now because we're going to be doing the chanting now. So I'll give you the beads if you like. And she goes, no, that part I know. And I thought, okay, she doesn't know the names of our deities. She doesn't know who Srila Prabhupada is, or she doesn't recognize it. How is it that she's going to be knowing these things? But someone's gone on out to distribute a book all the way up in Scotland in an Oxfam shop, where she was a doctor or into reading or something. So she got this Bhagavad Gita all as a package. She said there was this Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you know, the chanting card details. Somebody has placed that. So somebody's work out there, we don't know whether they're hearing or not, but it's actually been so fruitful. And she, when I saw her, she was chanting so pakka. She knew the verse. I was just trying to listen to her a little bit, which is a bit bad on my part. I should have trusted, but she was actually chanting so beautifully. And you have to think she was somewhere from completely other side of the world. But yet she said, I kept this book. I don't know what is it. I kept it by my bedside. I haven't read it, but I have this thing and there was beads and I have been chanting that. So that I knew. And if someone who knows and they gets perfected in chanting, what is difficult for them? Anything? Do you think they'll achieve everything that they need to in this life? Because our chanting, our devotional life, everything is dependent so much on the perfection of chanting, right? So, so this is it. As if we are can be brahmacharis, great. Maharaj said, be brahmacharis of high quality, be the best. If you can't be brahmachari, if you're a householder, then please, again, be the best. Do the best that you can. And we've heard that verse in which it states in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devam na tatsyat, na patis cha sasyan, namo chayatya samprit mrityam. So someone who cannot deliver their dependence from this life of birth and death and old age and disease should not even think of becoming a spiritual master, should not even be thinking of becoming a father, a mother, a worshipable deity, and so on. So, bearing that in mind, and in concluding this today's talk about this important verse, where we learn that even as a spiritual master, father, husband, mother, worshipable deity, the most important thing is to refrain from giving in to the onslaught of the sense gratification, because as we know in Diti's and their case, how they ended up that much problem later on with, you know, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And whereas when you're serving faithfully as a chaste wife, loyalty like Devahuti, they ended up gaining someone who was Kapiladev, the son in the form as Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our character is very important, because we say Vedic wisdom, Vedic culture is such a rich wealth that what we're doing now is not a problem, but when we are all alone, that's when our character comes into it. When we think no one's watching, we know Krishna's watching, Guru Maharaj is watching. And do we stick to all these principles that we ought to in terms of time, place and circumstances? And Vedic culture, as we've mentioned, is a scientific way of evolving from our lower species, lower consciousness, to a higher human platform where we can have the opportunity to perfect our achievements in this life and in service of Lord Krishna. Liberation is mentioned here. Again, we've already discussed five types, but the real liberation is when we are into devotional service and we are actually just without anya bilashita shunyam, any of other consideration, just engaged in serving their lordship. And we've already talked about analogy, and we need to all become a ripe mango. So let's try and give our all in this personal mission of Srila Prabhupada. And let's try and distribute. Let's try and do devotional service. Let's pull people in, because what we are experiencing as such a beautiful bliss in our life, irrespective of what we're going through in life, because when you do devotional service, it all, you understand it, why it's happening, why we shouldn't lose our faith in anything that we might be going through or our children might be going through, and so on. So I'll end here today. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Swami always mentioned, that mind is not to be trusted. And we should always beat our mind so that we can make sure it's following what it needs to follow. So thank you so much for attending. If there's any questions or comments, and apologies, Maharaj, I shouldn't be sat here and what can I say? But if there's any comments and questions, please feel free to ask. I'll try and answer. If not, then Maharaj is here. You may be able to. Definitely. Okay. Sorry. Just bear with us.
Hare Krishna. My husband has been doing Nirjala Ekadashi every Ekadashi since more than 10 years.
Haribo.
Will I get the 50% benefit from this also? Because this is like impossible. I can hardly do Nirjala once a year. It's like...
Right. Yes, very difficult to do, isn't it? But in terms of Nirjala, somebody gave me a tip when I was first came into this concept of voluntary austerities. And one of them was like, think of everything else as like anything that's grain, just think of it as insect. If there's water, even though we have water on the normal one, but think of that as, it's something that's not allowed on the day. But somebody, Harsha Rani Mataji, she's a beautiful devotee. She said to me, Vrinda, I just think like, even on Ekadashi, so when I had problem, forget about Nirjala in those days, even to keep in Ekadashi was a big chore. So she said to me, if you actually think everything like grain, this, that, the other are insects, you wouldn't want to eat, right? And I said, yes. So I tried that, and that's worked for me. But no, all glories to your wonderful husband who's been doing this. In terms of you getting the benefit, well, we know Bhagavatam doesn't lie. And here it tells us, I think it's verse 16 or 17. We've just done. So if you go to verse 19, it says in purport, by the Vedic injunction, the wife is accepted as the better half of a man's body because she is supposed to be responsible for discharging half of the duties of the husband. And in there, it says... So it mentions in next few verses that it shares. I haven't got the exact source of where I've got this, about 50% or percentage, but it states there that you automatically, and we've seen it. So when Devahuti is serving her husband, the result of his meditation, she's now achieved a son who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll try and find out for you the source. I'm sure I've read it somewhere, and when we were doing Bhakti Vaibhav course, and that's my favorite part of the thing. I should have actually written it somewhere to remind me, but thank you. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. My question is regards to the liberation, the types of liberations which you spoke about. Actually, in the Queen Kunti prayers, Mother Kunti actually doesn't want liberation. She wants to always be serving the Lord. So could you help us understand a little bit more on the context of, I'm not a wife, but as a lady, we're not looking for liberation, whether you're conditioned or whether you're a devotee. So could you help us understand the confusion there between liberation and not wanting liberation because we're serving the Lordships?
Yes. So, I'll try. To us, liberation might mean that, we want to be liberated from this prison of body to be able to break free from this cycle. Because if we are constantly taking birth after birth after birth, we are still being put as a conditioned soul into disturbances, that we're going to feel entangled more and more and more. And it states there in this verse that if you're disturbed as a conditioned, with the material conditioning. So when we are serving, our aim is to please the Lord. So irrespective of whether you're a wife or you are not wife, this is the beauty I mentioned about Vedic culture, that whichever stage we are at, we can make that difference. The goal is spiritual progression. The goal is not liberation. That's the byproduct. It automatically comes. If you're working in such a way that you're not attached to anything in your life, say, for example, I have children, but I'm thinking they're Krishna's children, that I'm looking after them. So I don't know what my children have to go through, what I have to go through, what my husband has to go through, what my parents have to go through. But in the end, as long as I know the reason why, and I accept it, and I'm not entangled by overly attached to anyone, wouldn't you say I'm liberated? If I was like that, I'm not saying I am like that. But that's our aim, that you as a mother, as a lady, as a man, just be so engrossed in serving and you get so much pleasure, then it doesn't matter what this body is going through, whether it's taking birth again, whether it's going through miseries, whether it's going through diseases, whatever else it is. Because bhakti overcomes those difficulties, because the bliss we get from serving the Lord, that pervades rather than any other thoughts about our well-being or me, mine, I mentality type of thing.
Thank you, Mataji. So would you say that then liberation is more for the... everyone's a devotee at the end of the day, but would you say it's more for the mundane platform? Because devotees don't really want liberation. We want to stay attached to Krishna to serve.
You're absolutely right. The only thing is, we can't go from here straight to here unless we have a Gyat Sukriti. So whilst we're going through the slow, gradual path of progression, we may think, okay, I need liberation by getting out of this cycle of birth and death. Eventually, we won't care. You're right. You know, our goal and our examples are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? How he's lived on the planet, being attached, being detached to everything. So that's the goal. As long as we are detached, then liberation is automatically happening, right?
Thank you, Mataji.
Apologies
thank
if
you.
I have
anything. No, thank you so much.
Answer properly. I don't know if anybody else wants to add to it.
Just add a little comment. Thank you for a very nice explanation. So there's liberation when you free yourself from all your karma, but the goal of a devotee is sevananda, which is their bliss comes from service. So that means a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. So just Brahmananda, becoming free from the material suffering, isn't the goal of a devotee. So Vaishnav liberation means that you'll be finally established in your relationship with Krishna. So that's the difference between a jnani and a bhakta. So when we first start Krishna conscious, we're worried about our suffering. So we naturally want to be freed from suffering, so liberation seems good, but actually we want love, a loving relationship which is based on service. So therefore Vaishnava is focusing on seva, which Mataji was very nicely pointing out like that. And the other point was you were talking about, yes, you do get 50%, it's whoever's saying that, and it's described that because you're assisting your husband in his duties of wanting to become liberated. So if that mood is there in your service, then there's a natural flow of mercy. So that's also considered in the 50% equation. So you're doing your best to serve.
Thank you very much. Very beautiful explanation. And I'm pleased to hear that it's not just me remembering that 50% is what I get of Rajesh Krishna serving today. Yeah. But no, thank you. Anybody else?
Rishmaji, in relation to this purport and your explanation, I don't think, it's very too hard. In the modernized world, the expectation of this purport is not easy. Probably 1%, 100% actually. Because the human is going in an independent way, especially the woman.
Especially?
Woman. For example, see, as you mentioned to service to the husband in relation to reach the spiritual activities, I don't think it's really 100% feasible. And my question is actually now, for example, in instance, there are some male devotees who are very trying to reach to the Lord, who do the service. But the cooperation from the wife, if both are very pure devotees, probably this equation worked out. But many of them, for example, if the Mataji is very good devotees, but husbands might not support. But how does it work? How can we to achieve that? Of course, you can. I mean, few people they pray the Lord continuously to get the even husband or wife into the culture.
Yeah.
Or so that the family goes into the perfection level as we.
Yeah. Because it's the thing is, it's not just the woman who needs to serve husband, because the man also, a husband also needs to then be very appropriate in terms of service. And knowing and knowledgeable in terms of their service to Krishna. And then is supposed to be mutual understanding of, if you think that, oh, my wife should serve, because then your mentality might be, okay, I'm the one who's doing service to Krishna. But really, if your wife is a Vaishnavi, she's also got Krishna inside her. I've noticed a lot of times, sometimes people are so nice to every other but in their life, but not their people who are living with them. They are the ones who end up seeing the rough side of them. Why? They should be the most precious one that they should be, because they've got Krishna inside them. They are Vaishnavis. They are also Vaishnav. So if you need to be respected, if you respect the other person and look after their needs, and man, she's also looking after, then automatically a very harmonious relationship, a mutual team, which is the whole idea of marriage, you know, because some of your faults are then fulfilled by husband's qualities and vice versa. No one's perfect, as we know, apart from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then it becomes a team, and you want to use that team to benefit your children into progressing in spirituality. Then those children, when they grow up, they want to form a community and they want to bring their children up in such a way so that they can also assist the society. And in terms of economic and liberation and all these things, you know, we used to hear, this is not ISKCON, but we used to say, Sai itna dijiye jaake kutum samai, main bhi bhookha na rahun, sadhu na bhookha jaye. So in terms of economic and trying to get, as long as we get given how much we need for day to day, and that sadhu who's visiting our house, they don't go hungry, then what's the difference? And what's the difficulty? I don't know if that answers your question, but we can't really pinpoint about how we get other persons to try and assist. All we do is we hope, by being nice to ourselves, like we want to treat others like we want to be treated ourselves. And in that, we can hope that your wife would also see, or I'm sure it's not, if you're talking about somebody else, that their sibling or their wife or their children might also value the fact that dad's doing this or the person's doing this, and then assist them in meditating and achieving the higher goal in Krishna consciousness. There is no time left now, so if there's any more discussion, we can probably take it outside. So thank you so much all for attending. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
ki.
Guru Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.